I'm going to start recording now. So the date is
June 18th.
Saturday, June 18th, 2016, and I am sitting here with
Aaron Ekman from the BC Federation of Labour.
Okay, and where did you travel from to attend Miners Memorial Weekend?
I was in Prince George yesterday morning, and then we went to the Ironworkers Memorial Ceremony in Vancouver, and then quickly came to Cumberland after that. So I've been here since yesterday.
Excellent. Okay, so would you be able to, first of all, tell me, and I guess the answer is yes, are you a part of the Labour movement?
Yeah, I'd say I am. Some small part.
Want to go into that in more detail?
I've worked in sheet metal as a roofer and both a production and installation sheet metalist. Worked for a number of years as a union organizer for a few different unions over the years, and worked as a regional coordinator for the BCGEU, which is a provincial government employees union, in Prince George. I currently live in Prince George. And in 2014, I was elected the Secretary Treasurer of the BC Federation of Labour. That's what I do now.
Can you tell me about your first experience of Miners Memorial Weekend? What year did you first attend?
I'm sad to say last year was the first year I attended. I was invited to speak at the graveside vigil for Ginger Goodwin. And it's always been an event that I've wanted to attend for at least the last 10 years since I've known that it's been put on. But because I'm a northerner and have spent so many years up north, the distance has always made it quite difficult for me to come down. So I was just absolutely delighted to come down last year, and was really delighted this year to participate in the unveiling of the plaque for Comrade Joe Naylor yesterday. Just absolutely made my month. It was wonderful.
So would you say that is the most memorable moment at Miners Memorial Weekend for you so far?
I think yesterday was for me. I told a very brief story about last year, how I was so excited to see, in particular, Joe Naylor's marker in the graveyard, because I knew it was there. I expected it to be a bit larger. I couldn't find it right away. And I was just horrified to find out, as I was looking around, standing next to Ginger Goodwin's marker, because he's got a rather large stone there that's so well photographed and well known. I suddenly realized I was nearly standing right on top of St. Joe's marker. I felt just horrible. So participating in the unveiling of his plaque this year was some small way to make amends for that indiscretion last year. So I was just delighted to have the opportunity to do that.
Awesome. What do you think the legacy of Miners Memorial will be, Miners Memorial Weekend will be going into the future?
Well, I think it's vitally important that this happens every year. It's such a key component of the history of not just this area, but of our province. A very similar history, not just here in Cumberland, but all around the interior as well. I'm more accustomed to Barkerville up in close to Quesnel, and I go there every year to, as I say, pay my taxes. It's a provincially regulated heritage site with government employees that work there, unionized folks. A number of stores that are really cool. And so I go up there once a year and remember the history of miners, particularly Chinese miners that weren't paid as much as white miners, sacrificed a lot, were segregated from the town. That history permeates the entire province. And there's so many components of our current context that's related to that same history. The people change. In some respects, the nature of the work changes. The interests don't. The interests of working folks vis-a-vis their bosses, those interests don't change. And especially in the current context where we have an influx of temporary foreign workers being brought in many respects to try to keep wages down, it's so vital for us to remember people like Joe Naylor, who as far back as 1914 at a BC Federation of Labour convention vehemently opposed a resolution on the floor of that convention to exclude all, as they were called at the time, Asiatics from the Dominion, which was such a progressive and important position and courageous position for him to take at the time, given that there was so much anti-Asiatic sentiment within the labor movement that permeated not just at that time period, but straight on into the Second World War as well. And he took such a principal position against that at such an early time, which is why it's so important for us to continually remember that legacy every year, because it reminds us that we can't blame working folks that are being brought here to do the work. We have to blame the policies and the governments that are setting them up in those situations to try to drive wages down and treat those poor folks horribly. And our position at the BC Federation of Labour has always been, if those folks are good enough to come here, they're good enough to be paid what British Columbians would otherwise be paid to do that same work, and that's what we fight for.
Great. You mentioned Joe Naylor a lot. Is he your favourite figure from BC Labour history?
Certainly one of them. There's so many important figures from BC Labour history, and this is why I'm so excited to play a role on the board of the BC Labour Heritage Centre, which really endeavours to try to educate working folks about the history of so many important folks throughout BC, but particularly a number of women that played a role in the labour movement. We do focus on men, and that's where a lot of the histories are written. And so, you know, we got a lot of work to do to try to uncover a lot of that history, and I'm certainly no expert by any stretch, but none of us really should regard ourselves as such, and we're continually trying to find that history, and that's why we're going around to a number of different grave sites around the province, where in the early 1800s, they actually inscribed some of the details of the lives of those workers on the headstones, which in many, you know, how they died, the accident they died in, the kind of work they did, which in many respects is the only living history of a lot of those individuals, and we try to piece it together over time. So we're going to continue to try to do that work, and it's so important that we do.
Okay, so that's kind of the end of the Miners Memorial Weekend focus questions. So moving on to kind of more general labour history questions. Do you remember how old you were when you first started thinking about labour history?
Labour history, it's hard to peg a date. I was about 3 or 4 years old when Operation Solidarity happened in British Columbia, and my parents have a picture of me on a picket line in Terrace with a pack and a sign. So I wouldn't say that I was thinking about labour history at that time, but I was certainly participating in it. That was such a key moment in the recent history of our province. One of the last times, with the exception, I think, of 2001 during the Bill 29 dispute, where we came very close to a province-wide labour dispute, that the entire province of workers, whether they were unionized or not, decided they had to take a stand and work together to make the province a better place. So that was my first exposure to it at a very young age. And you start to realize as you participate in this that there are so many similarities and interests throughout the years. It doesn't matter if you go back 50 years, 100 years, or 150 years. Those interests of workers vis-a-vis bosses are the same. So many of the details change, the names of personalities change, but our need to fight for better working conditions for our class of people doesn't change, and our need to fight to protect what those before us have gained never changes. Because just because you get it in a contract doesn't mean the boss is going to respect it. You got to fight to keep it. So that's why labor history is so important.
And what do you think are the issues that are facing working people today?
Oh, there's so many issues facing working people today. Declining wages, more and more difficulty joining a union if they want to, especially in the case of temporary foreign workers who are brought in at large numbers that aren't even being calculated in an accurate way by the provincial government. These are folks who are in many respects, figuratively if not literally, chained to the farms at which they work. Need paid minimum wage or less, working 12-hour days, 7 days a week with no overtime. So similar to the kind of working conditions that Chinese workers faced when they were building the railroad, which connected this province to Canada during Confederation. So similar to what miners, whether they were Chinese, Japanese, or whites, Europeans, faced when they were working in the late 1800s, early 1900s in this province. Those things are all very similar, but they come in waves and in different forms. And so these are things that we're continually having to address. The most important thing I think that we're going to face going forward is how do we structure or restructure the foundations of the organizations that workers have built around themselves over the centuries to face these challenges. How do you, and this is a question for us at the BC Federation of Labor, which since 1911 has proudly claimed to represent the interests of all workers, whether they're in a union or not, how do we be accurate in that assertion if temporary foreign workers can't participate in the democratic structures of our organization unless they're in a certified workplace, which is impossible under the current framework? How do we restructure ourselves to make sure they can participate in our democratic processes? That's a big challenge, and tough conversations have to be had to do that. That'll be a huge challenge for the new generation of workers coming in.
All right. And why do you think labor history matters then? You've kind of touched on that a little bit, but maybe you could say a little bit more.
I think it matters because as we go through these tough conversations about how we restructure ourselves, we run the risk of becoming too attached to the structure itself because of the history. And we have to understand that the structures that we did put in place, if we have a fulsome understanding of the history that created them, they were put in place to match the needs of working people at that time and in that place. And even though, as I've said, the interests may not change of workers vis-a-vis bosses, the work definitely changes. Even the demographics of workers change, the type of work changes, and so too must the structures that we've erected around ourselves. And so it's important to have a fulsome understanding of the history of why we erected these structures, in many cases brick and mortar, around ourselves, in order to understand how we might need to alter those structures or change them or update them or modernize them in order to serve the needs of working people now and into the future. We can't do that without a fulsome understanding, if we only have a partial understanding of the history, we run the risk of becoming too attached to the structure itself because of that history, and we ignore the current context. There's no point in understanding and studying history, I think, if we also don't attach it and apply it to the current context to fully understand the conditions that we face today. That's what makes it so vitally important.
Great. Is there anything that you'd like to add that we haven't talked about yet?
Only that I'm really appreciative that you're doing this work, and really happy every year. And this is now only the second year I've been here. But I've known for a number of years that there's a solid group of folks that come out here every year for this memorial, for this weekend, and work hard to put these events on. And it's just so important, and I'm very appreciative that they do it. I'm going to keep trying to come out every year that I can. And I'm really looking forward to hearing all the other interviews that are conducted here, because I know there's just such a wealth of knowledge and experience that we have to assemble, and I'm just really happy that you're doing this.
Okay, right.